This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back on the box. We got lots for you. You know what we like to do in the final hour of the program? We mix it up a little bit. We used to call it the Press Box Postgame Show. Now, because you just get one great entertaining experience with us, we don't have to name the final hour, but we have more fun in the third hour of the program. Sports headlines of the day. There were plenty of upsets in the NBA, including the Grizzlies continuing to stay hot, beating Utah in Game 1. Donovan Mitchell was a late scratch as he continues to nurse what was a sprained ankle that kept him out most of the final month of the regular season. He's not happy about it now, maybe more so because they lost. But regardless, he's voicing his opinion.
It would be funny, though, if he's like just doing this to be dramatic and he really isn't even close to 100%. That'd be hilarious.
But they showed it. I don't know if you saw the video of him warming up before the game.
He looks like he's fine.
Yeah, he looks fine.
Yeah, I don't. But I just think it would be hilarious if he was lying the whole time. It would make for a better story.
I agree. Julio Jones has said, I'm out of there, in terms of his future with the Atlanta Falcons.
He gone.
So as much as Atlanta has said they're listening to offers, he's listening attentively too, because he wants out. He's done. So there are going to be teams knocking on the door, making offers to see what goes on. OTAs are voluntary in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers didn't show up in Green Bay. No surprise there. Deshaun Watson didn't show up in Houston. No surprise there. So no one should treat that like it's earth shattering. No one sitting down should get up and make it a big deal. And everyone should just move along with their day, realizing these things happen. And the Players Association has said they've encouraged all the veterans to not show up.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they've encouraged it. It's one of those things, well, if you tell them to show up and they don't, it's kind of a bad look on you anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked. Deshaun Watson, I think even if it wasn't a situation where he just didn't want to go because he was lazy, he still wouldn't have gone because of the situation that he's in. So
we also talked about the fact the Astros got swept in Arlington.
The bullpen
is a mess.
We did.
It needs to be addressed, and Nick and I are both of the agreement that we need to hear from James Click as the general manager that they're at least trying to see how they can address this situation.
And we don't know why Dusty decided not to go for the intentional walk.
Correct. And Dusty made a couple of coaching faux pas this weekend that may or may not have cost them opportunities to win two of the three games. We realized that there are guys on the mend. Framber Valdez threw four innings for the Skeeters last night. Again, gave up a couple of hits. Feels like his curveball isn't there yet. He says, I'm a couple starts away from being back with the Astros. So we kind of guessed probably early to mid-June. Jake Odorizzi, as Nick mentioned, pitches tonight for the Skeeters.
7:05.
In a single game because of the weather, as he continues his rehab to try and get back. Blake Taylor threw an inning yesterday, says he needs a few more appearances with the Skeeters, and then he'll be ready to play. Has anyone seen Baez? That's all I want to know, because this is a guy that was supposed to shore up the middle of the pen. He was, last time I checked, Nick, 60 feet 6 inches. It's the distance of the mound to home plate. The last update I got was, Baez was throwing 90 feet down at the minor league facility. Well, I don't care if he can throw the ball from left field. Yeah. I need to know if he's on the mound and getting ready to be an impactful player and not the next Austin Pruitt on this Astros team. Bullpen help needed. No, I'm not going to say it. No, I never want to see Josh James when I say that I want help in the bullpen. But there are other options internally that I would like to hear more from.
And he's on that the 60-day list, right, Baez? I believe the injured list.
I think it went 60 or 90. They just keep extending it. I thought he was out with COVID, and then he had a bit of a sore arm. Now, and I bring up Austin Pruitt, there was a guy that everybody was looking forward to a couple a year ago. They were looking for this guy to be an impactful player coming from the Rays. Yeah. He never ended up pitching for them. Then he blew out his arm. Now God knows where he's at and what he's doing, but it ain't anything with the Astros. And they need bullpen help. So this is a big stretch for the Stros coming up. They open up a series with the Dodgers starting tomorrow night at Minute Maid Park. Welcome, Joe Kelly. I hope you get just absolutely obliterated with nasty words from Houston fans. Welcome, Trevor Bauer, who's going to pitch on national TV on ESPN.
They should act like New York Knicks fans. F you, Trey Young.
So much for COVID protocols in Madison Square Garden.
Oh,
that place
packed.
Was filled to the gills.
That was packed.
Just wrapping up the Astros, though. They open up a homestand now after being on the road.
Here's one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah. Can I just, I'll just go this real quick. Dodgers series starts this week, Padres this weekend, then Red Sox. All at home, all playoff teams. Going to be a big series for the Astros.
Cool. I'm ready for it, too. It's going to be important.
No doubt.
They need to do good against good teams.
Yes, they do, which they've been fairly good at doing, but they need to really continue to do now because this little losing streak didn't help.
What do you think Shaq and Barkley are doing when they're off the air? Do you think they're actually watching games? Are they taking notes?
Well, it's interesting because Dwayne Wade and Candace Parker, when they do that little Tuesday night deal where Ernie's not involved and Charles is involved, they've caught the Diesel snoozing on occasion. But boy, oh boy, the Diesel decided that he not only caught his boy, but he was going to sell him out full-blown the other night.
I also thought they did a good job on Bill and Westbrook. They played really good defense.
Ernie, but sorry to interrupt. I know snitches get stitches, but he was not watching the game. And I have proof. I'm just saying.
Who?
You. You weren't watching the game at all.
Oh, he.
Look at him, Ernie. He was not watching the game. So do not go to him.
That must have been during a commercial break.
That was going to be.
Sleep at nights, kitty. Young man. It's all hits.
Look at him, Kenny. Ernie, don't ask him.
And then he catches me in the club. Bottom full of
blow. No. So from what you were able to see in the first half, what'd you think?
I was a little tired today, Ernie. I shot a commercial all day yesterday in the sun, so I'm a little tired. Shout out to Aleve X, a new product.
Okay. Oh, jeez.
So I was tired, man.
So what you couldn't see was Charles had, and this is what I don't understand either, because I've been to the green room on the Turner set where the guys just kind of sit in the production room and they watch the game. Now it looks like they have their own kind of separate room with recliners and everything. But the guys have headphones on. They have headphones on. You got volume on all that. Why do you have to? I don't know why you're wearing headphones, but Charles was literally sound asleep with his headphones on while the other guys were in the room sitting around in some of the other chairs. Like,
I don't know either. I just thought it was hilarious. Fat people sleeping and you rolling tape on it is hilarious in my opinion. It's just funny just to see Charles Barkley.
Shaq can do it all he wants, but he needs to remember he's also been caught twice sleeping.
Here's what I think. Here's the reason why I think Shaq did that. Because remember when Shaq was late the other week, last week, and then Barkley kept calling him a dummy on the air and stuff like that?
Yeah.
He just wanted to get him back. They act like little brothers is what they do.
Did you see, too, where Charles overstepped and said something about, like, where did you get that from? And he made reference to Shaq's grandma last
week.
Overstepped. Yeah, because, you know, you don't bring family into this, and you don't know if she's dead or alive.
Was Shaq mad?
And Shaq got really ticked off, and he told Charles as much, and Charles apologized on the air. And it was like one of those moments where you knew all the fun and games wasn't quite fun and games at that time.
No, I missed that. I would have played the audio. I had no idea he got upset.
Yeah, it was last week. So, I mean, they all get away with what they get away with. But, again, these guys get away with more than most. It's just crazy that if we saw someone on the ABC telecast and knew that they couldn't name players' names or they fell asleep during the first half, it would be a bigger deal than Shaq or Barkley.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
It's just a double standard to me, and I get it that they're more entertainment, but they're also ex-players. And they're breaking down the game. This is the playoffs. This is not Cleveland at Detroit on a Tuesday night.
I mean,
is this Philly and Washington?
Is it safe to say, look, if you're a former player and you can get any gig you want, by all means, get the gig. But, I mean, I don't really have an unbelievable belief in former players sometimes when it comes down to analysis. Look, a lot of former players can stay attached to the game and do really, really well, whether it's in the form of ownership, in a broadcast form, whether you're a part owner like D-Wade is now with the Utah Jazz, or maybe you're just one of the coaches. I just don't believe in them as much anymore. Just because you're a former player doesn't mean anything. Like, you look at, like, Stephen A. Smith's take, for example, on the whole Utah Jazz situation. He's like, if it's anybody that can calm Donovan Mitchell down, it's going to be my brother D-Wade. Really? You think D-Wade, just because he's part owner, is going to go up to Donovan Mitchell and cool him down because the team made the decision to not play? No, he's not. He's still going to be angry with whatever he's angry about. Like, D-Wade is not going to come over here and de-escalate this situation. If Donovan Mitchell wants to play, Donovan Mitchell wants to play, whether D-Wade is part owner or not. So I don't really have a massive belief in former players. Now, I am wrong in some cases. Sometimes former players do really, really good, whether it's an analysis on a broadcast platform or in the form of ownership or in the form of coaching. Some of them actually do well. But there's a lot of them that do absolutely terrible.
So that's what I'm. That's where I'm leaning, Nick. I could see Dwayne Wade having a conversation with Spider Mitchell because they've had a relationship prior to him getting involved in ownership. But this is his first year. I'm sure he doesn't know what his role is, and I'm sure that the majority owner isn't encouraging Dwayne Wade to go get involved.
He's not now, de-escalating that situation.
We don't know who he's mad at, because if you read the article, it said that the Met, and you know what, here's where it's, and this is where I can explain this, Nick, but it's gone haywire. It used to be that each team had a trainer. If they had a specific illness, they went to the doctor, whether it be the cardiologist, if it was heart-related, or it was a knee specialist, or whoever it was, and then they made their, you know, if they were hurt, they'd make recommendations. Now, each team travels with about 3 to 4 specialists, whether it be rehab specialists or 2 advanced medical trainers. And from what I read in the article, after shoot around and then working him out, the medical specialists that were with the team decided it was in the best interest of the Jazz for him to sit at least one more game out. I would think the general manager needs involvement in that. Remember when we talked about how Steven Silas wasn't in the loop when the Rockets decided that PJ Tucker wouldn't play anymore? There's got to be more communication, and there's got to be a pecking order in which the team approves, you might be my trainer guy extraordinaire, but just because you say he shouldn't play, I should still be able to have a conversation with my player and determine, hey, Donovan, it's Dennis Lindsay, the GM.
Training
staff says you shouldn't play. How are you feeling? I need you to be honest with me. And if they can have that honest conversation, not that I don't care what those trainers say, but I want my best player on the floor.
No, no doubt. No doubt. And look, how do we know it's not a situation where it's like, look, the doctor said you couldn't play. We're just leaving it up to the doctor. And Donovan Mitchell's like, all right, don't give me that BS, bro. You can get involved in this decision just as much as I can. Work with me. Talk to me here. You know what I mean? And sometimes these rules are dumb. You know what I mean? If you want a really old example, back in the day when Michael Jordan had that stupid minute restriction, I think it was like 7 minutes a half or 14 minutes a half or whatever the hell it was. It got to the point where it was dumb. Yeah, they were worried about his ankle being broken and stuff like that, but he was fine. Sometimes these restrictions are dumb and they don't handle it correctly. And if you don't handle it correctly with an NBA star, particularly like one like Donovan Mitchell, I can see why it can get up in arms. So, but you're right. I think that line of to your point, that line of communication should absolutely be there. If the doctor says, no, you can't play, and Donovan Mitchell approaches you and says, you know what? I wouldn't necessarily believe everything that this doctor is telling you. I would just absolutely look at the situation and say, hey, maybe get a second opinion, and perhaps, just maybe another doctor says I'm okay to play. We don't know yet, but let's get a second opinion and go from there.
And when you think about the entire situation, too, and what teams are doing, Nick, is they're getting specialists from all over the world. There could be some rehab people in Australia that they feel like are cutting edge, and they got to be in there. But this is also going to affect players talking to players going, man, I don't know if you want to come here because they got like 6 lines of people you got to get through, and they're tight about whether you should play or not. And if they say you're not, no matter how much you want to get on that floor, you ain't playing.
I see that. No, I see that. And sometimes, like I said this last week, sometimes you got to protect these players from themselves. I just don't know if this... It looks like Donovan Mitchell is fine, and he's just aggravated about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The way he's practicing, and you know how players, they don't like practice. They don't like practice.
But I also
you don't
say
make
if
me
they
practice,
win the
I'm
game,
play.
Are we talking about this if they win the game last night?
I don't think they... Like I said, I think he loses his leverage in terms of complaining, but I think the Utah Jazz goes back in that locker room and say, look, bro, we won the game. I'm not going to say they're rubbing it in his face. But I feel like they feel better about the situation at the very minimum.
You got to hear in the post game how many media people going, would this game have been different if Donovan Mitchell played?
Of course. You know that question's popping up.
No doubt. And Nick, you are the blame today. It's official.
Why?
Our good friend Todd the Show is in the pickup line, and he texted us while being in the pickup line to pick up his kids.
But I didn't say anything inappropriate this time.
Let me read exactly what the text says. Damn, Nick. The overweight car line lady comes up to my window, and you hit the random fat people sleeping is funny. Nothing bad for 2 hours, and then I get that. Todd, you know what you signed up for. This is what you get on a daily basis. And you didn't even warn us today what time the pickup line was. All right, well, the pickup line here is we've got 45 minutes to go on the show, so stay right with us. We got plenty more to get to. It's the Press Box, ESPN.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, Nick, we talked about the top sports news of the day. Now, as we continue to get through the final hour of the program, you knew at a certain point, and I don't think this is right, but I think it was inevitable. And I talked to you about all the time about how the most corrupt sports organization in the country is AAU basketball. But now, when we see all of what's going on with college sports and the realignment of conferences and all the money that's being thrown around for college athletics, it was going to happen. The high schools were going to do it too. Now, the top high school basketball programs in the country are forming their own power conference because of, like, in the past when ESPN had those high school tournaments where they had Mount Zion Academy and they had, you know, all the IMG Academy in Florida, Oak Hill. Well, now the National Interscholastic Basketball Conference is what it's going to be called, and it's going to feature Oak Hill, Montverde, IMG Academy, La Lumiere School in Indiana, Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas, and Wasatch Academy in Utah, along with two other schools yet to be announced. Eight teams, 10-game regular season. They're going to play in special NIBC events and hold a postseason tournament, and there are plans to potentially expand the league in coming years. They're going to make money. They're probably going to have a TV deal, and this is going to be big business.
You think so?
I do.
Wow.
I really do.
Now, I get high school football down here in Texas.
Right.
But people are going to want to watch these high schoolers play basketball?
So
they are the best players.
When the G League changed their rules this last year so that they could prevent all these high school kids from going to play abroad for a year and be one and done instead of staying in the United States, whether they go to college or not. And if they go to college, they obviously don't get money unless they get under the table.
Right.
So they went to the G League. The G League team that had the high school kids, their games were constantly being played on ESPN and on NBA TV because of the fact that people wanted to see these kids that are going to be top five picks in the NBA draft. So therefore, sponsors are on board. They're buying commercials. They're sponsoring in arena. They're doing these kind of things. If you get these programs who get these top-ranked kids and they're all playing each other on a consistent basis, there's going to be a whole lot of money for these high schools and others being thrown around.
Yeah. How do they handle compensation and stuff like that?
Well, the kids, the players
can't get played, right?
Right. But the schools will get it. And then more and more high school kids are going to want to go there.
I don't see how you don't raise the question doesn't pop up. I guess because they're not quite adults, it changes things. It makes that part easy. But if you're a guy that's not quite there,
essentially, Nick, what it comes down to is the fact that it's going to be the breeding ground for college athletics and otherwise. If you coach in this conference and you have success, and especially because high school is recruiting just like colleges, and you recruit well and you do well, chances are you're going to get a Division I head coaching job and make a whole lot of money in the next 5 years. If you're a player and you get all the exposure in high school of playing one of these programs and playing against other top high school kids in America, you're going to have your choice, whether it be the G League in cash, whether it be top universities in the country, if that's the route you want to go. But you're going to have more opportunities and you're going to get more exposure so that more schools and more teams are interested in you.
And the other thing is you might even have teams overseas that are interested in you. You know, you might have the right person watching, and if you're just not good enough to make it in the NBA, you can make it overseas and make a nice chunk of change.
Yeah, so they're looking at a team.
I'm surprised, but it'll be interesting to see. And when is it starting? Next year?
They're looking at, let's see, when it's going to start. Because they're already talking about major sponsors.
2021 and 2022.
So next season. They said it initially was formed to get away from all the games that high schools lost to COVID, that the top schools would find a way to at least play each other and find a way to showcase their talent so that these kids could move on to colleges and otherwise. And now they realize it's big business. NBA scouts were there because they're looking for the next generation of talent. College scouts are there. Top head coaches are there. So there's interest. The best players are there. So there's TV. And now you're talking about a lot of money changing hands and a lot. It's another way to make cash, I guess. So we'll see how it all works out. But it does seem like that's the next generation of basketball as we know it. So we'll continue to move forward. If there's something you want to get in a conversation, 713-780-3776. Calls and texts, otherwise Twitch and Twitter. It's Nick and Joel. It's Press Box ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Press Box on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
All right, back as we roll through the final half hour of the program on just a Monday as we get kind of out of the weekend and back into the swing of things. As
just
we were
talking Monday.
About. Yeah, I mean, I hate Mondays.
When you're
coming
depressed?
Off a weekend, and I mean, I always love spending more time with the kids and downtime than I do.
Wait a second, you like spending more time with your kids than me? Is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm.
And my wife's a lot hotter than you, so I
that's
I
a
really,
shocker. Everybody
yeah,
wants
I
to
enjoy
spend time
spending
with me.
A lot of time with my wife too. Yep. So, we were having this conversation about this high school league, and Largo is on Twitch and he's going back at me, and he doesn't think that it's going to open up jobs. And the fact of the matter is, and I'm mentioning Penny Hardaway as one case, taking a school like Memphis, who otherwise wouldn't be on the map as a major player university, Cal put him on the map and he left. And he had all those violations. And I said, the school doesn't care about the violations. What they care about is they're still getting big names, which means they're getting big TV games, which means they're getting revenue. And I don't think that Penny's on the level of a Cal in terms of how close you were willing to go to the line to go in and get your point across. Josh Pazner, who was a big recruiter guy from Houston, went to Memphis thinking he could take over and do what Cal did, and he couldn't. It takes a – if I'm a high school kid, do I want to play for a guy that knows how to get to the NBA and succeed like Penny Hardaway? Or do I want to play for some guy that's promising me the moon at Memphis as opposed to Duke or Carolina or the big blue blood schools? It's why Memphis is still willing to take a chance. And he said, well, you can't take your players with you if you go from high school and you go to college. Guess what? If your name's in the right circles, you are going to be known as Nick Sciarra, a basketball coach that put together the high school team that was competing for a national title. So whether you get those kids or not, there's going to be another batch of kids that go, I want to play for that dude. He knows how to win, and he knows how to recruit.
Okay. I mean, I have nothing to add about the high school basketball. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that strong. I think maybe they want it to grow that big, and I think it's indicative with the number of games in the season or the number of teams. Because if it was really that massive, they would start with a massive number of teams. Could it potentially grow into that? Possibly, but I mean, I don't know enough about that dynamic for me to have too much of a strong opinion.
I just think it's a start. I think that we don't have a team from Chicago. We don't have a team from New York. We don't have a team from an LA yet. If it does do well at all, you're going to see the hotbeds of high school basketball go, I want a piece of that. Because think about it. A lot of these schools are known for their basketball players, but their schools themselves are kind of run down. If they start getting into that revenue stream, then everybody's going to want a piece of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just can't pay the players.
All right.
All right. Did you see this, by the way, at your boy Alex Rodriguez? And I think this is finally fitting of something A-Rod should do. He's starting his own makeup line for men.
Why?
I mean, you think about Alex Rodriguez. He's always been kind of the cheesy metrosexual fashion guy.
Has he? The metros? I don't know if I describe
him
as
metro. He's always well-dressed. From his suits to even when he's not dressed up, he was always worried about how he looked and his hair had to be a certain way and he's tan and... He's always been a pretty boy, hasn't he?
When you do that, bro, that means you're excited. That means you're excited.
I'm still fighting the congestion.
I mean, do you think it can cover up my horn? I need my horn covered with this makeup line. Do you think it'll work?
I mean, what do they call that, concealer? I don't know what concealer does on a
woman. I don't
think
concealers can.
I don't know what it is, but maybe he can conceal the horn.
Benign tumors.
You know, I mean, I don't think it's a tumor, but
that's what they called it. I didn't.
So he's working with the Hims and Hers team. He said he wanted to create products that solve an issue that he faced every day. And he realized as he was jumping from meeting to meeting, I need something quick and easy in my routine to conceal blemishes and razor bumps, and sent out several photos of him posing, smiling, and showing him using a blur stick by the company Hims. That will allow you to hide, I guess, zits?
And blemish zits? I don't know if that's healthy. Like, you get some makeup and you put it over a zit. Doesn't that, like, re-aggravate the whole situation? I mean, I don't know. But, look, he's in TV every day. I can see someone like that being excited about it. But, look, we're in a completely different day and age. I mean, Raheel tweets about it all the time. He's like, guys, you got to get a skin routine. You got to get a...
Bro.
And all that other stuff. So it's different now. People,
do you a face wash?
I've never...
Get into any of
that. I don't do that. I should, but I don't.
The morning show, KPRC, last week, it was all about, it started with the women, and then midweek they went to the men. They had grown-ass adult men saying, I mean, I need a face wash.
Yeah, that's what TV...
I need all this. I need that. No, you don't, because you're not on TV. They are.
In order for me to graduate, I had to do a TV show at the University of Houston, and they're obviously talking about how you have to approach makeup if you're a dude, and if you have to approach makeup in the event it's standard D or high definition, because that we're going through that transition, and how high definition makeup is completely different. I was getting all these recommendations from one of the makeup artists that they were, and she was like, and I bought these things, and it just, like, I had no idea what I was doing, bro. I was so clueless. And I felt like it made my face look worse because if you don't know how to do that stuff, you're going to make yourself look weird.
Right.
You're going to look like you did Botox when you didn't do Botox.
I mean, like, again, if you're in a very high-profile industry, like you said, broadcasting, modeling, I get it, you wear makeup. When I was doing TV stuff, you have to powder for the shine. You have to do certain things. I see what Lisa has to go through every day, but that's a chick. How many dudes, besides soap and water... And maybe, and some obviously some lotion, and not enough dudes use lotion. But how many dudes are going further than that and saying, well, I need some vitamin infused this. And there's names for all this stuff. I don't even know the products, but I'm going, no matter, even if it wasn't expensive, there's just no need for it. Are you clean? Yes. Do you smell good? Yes. Can you get your Johnson in the air when you need to and as enough hair on the top of your head? I get those are issues for men. But not like SPF sunblock every day and all these other things like with vitamin C for under your eyes and stuff. No.
Yeah. You're not going to catch me with, what is it, the cucumbers and stuff like that. You're not going to catch me doing anything. Look, I need some sort of motivation or incentive to do so. So if, Lisa puts in a good word for me at Channel 2 and I get a job, I might wear some makeup. If I get a job at 26... I'm going to want to look better than, what's his name? Mark Berman, right? It's probably not going to be very hard, but, Channel 11, you know what I mean? Channel 13.
Channel 11, you can do whatever you want. They're not very good at doing
it. You know what I mean? Oh, see, that's not nice. Then I might do that.
Let me ask you a question. Ages, from the age group of 30 to 44, they said that 30% of men, regardless of their profession, would be open to trying makeup. Why? Maybe if you're single. Okay, you're single and you're in the demographic. So you're single, 30 to 44. Do you have any reason at all where you would say, like, if it gets you more chicks?
No, I've never thought of it. That's just me. I've never thought of it that way. Now, skin products, I ain't going to lie. I've looked up, like, I've bought facial skin products. I just never use it. I'm never a guy that actually gets into that type of routine and stick to it. But makeup, no, I probably wouldn't look that up.
So they surveyed over 2,000 men a little over a year ago. 30% of men ages 18 to 29 said they'd be open to trying makeup. And another 30%, men ages 30 to 44, said they also were open to it. But the same year, another survey found the three most popular cosmetic items that men were using were lip balm, blemish concealer, and foundation. Okay, if you have an acne problem, I get it if you're going out, especially if you're single again. But what does foundation do, and what man in his right mind that are, that hangs with us or in our circles is going, you know what, bro, I'm out of foundation. I got to go to MAC or someplace at the mall.
I've actually bought foundation from the MAC before.
For what?
For school. I had to get it. I had to go to MAC. MAC is not it. By the way, I feel your pain, ladies. The prices at MAC are ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I bought something that it was probably this big, and it cost me $80.
I'm
like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be a part of this little scheme that you got going on. Leave my blemishes on my face and just shoot that way. I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that. But like, look, skin lotion, like a facial lotion, I get it. You know what I mean?
Sure, you got to moisturize, and I get keeping.
I forgot what the purpose of foundation is.
I'm looking it up right now.
There's something you have to do. There's like something you have to put foundation first to put the rest of the stuff on or something like that. I don't know how that works. The concealer, which like covers blemishes, I get it. Little quick, just trying to, I get it. You know what I mean? But the foundation, I don't know how that stuff works. You're supposed to know
what
all these
is
things.
Foundation makeup, Nick? Foundation is a liquid or powder makeup applied to the face to create an even, uniform color to your complexion, cover flaws, and sometimes to change your natural skin tone.
Isn't that what concealer does, though? I feel like that's the same thing as concealer. I don't know what the hell this stuff is.
I thought concealer was for covering up the blemishes.
Who knows?
I'm not using either one of them, so I'm not worried about it. But concealer makeup, according to Google, is a color corrector, a cosmetic that's used to mask dark circles, age spots, large pores, small blemishes.
I mean, that sounds the same. That sounds like the same thing.
Similar, right?
Sounds like the exact same thing.
Some of it, no, but the other one is to like smooth everything out on the entire face, and it's more focused on like I would think like tech. What I want to say, surface as a whole, uh-huh. As opposed to concealer, which is for specific areas like dark circles. And either way, I'm not using them, and I don't know any grown man that's not in. I get it for TV, you need it. Other than that, I don't know grown men unless you got like a big business presentation and you got a warthog of a whitehead sitting on your cheek that you want to try and make sure isn't as noticeable. But even still, if I'm having lunch with you and we're doing a business meeting.
Yeah.
And we're at least across the table from one another, I guarantee if you're wearing something to cover something up, I'm going to be like looking at it going, is he wearing? What's he doing?
Well, when you do your fancy videos for Sports Map, the video crew is not putting makeup
not
on you?
We used to when I was wearing a suit. Now that we're just wearing...
Wait a second. Brandon Strange and them used to put makeup on you?
Powder. Yeah.
You're lying.
Nope. I told them from the get-go, I'm not supplying it and I'm not doing it. But if you guys feel it's necessary for the videos, then you can bring it. And so they would bring powder for the shine, and they would powder it before I would do the videos. But that's when we were doing the formal ones where I was wearing like a dress shirt and a suit. When we got down to just basically sitting there and kicking it in more of a relaxed conversational format, they go, we don't need to do it anymore. Fine, because I wiped it off as soon as I got out of there.
Had no idea y'all went to that extent.
Like unless you wear a hat on your dome, they would powder your head because without hair.
Well, because the glare off of my horn would be.
Forget the horn. You would have
would be crazy.
The amount of shine that the lights in a studio create would have to be subdued by powder.
The glare could blind both of your eyes that's coming off my
horn. And the horn could poke it out. So you either blind them or
glare.
You could poke it.
They don't want me in that studio. No one.
You don't know that. You keep doing this at this level. If you keep doing this at this level, you're going to be doing videos in no time, whether you like it or not.
I'm not going to put powder on my horn.
No, but you can just wear a lid.
That's right.
Right.
I mean, the picture that I got out right now that they got on ESPN 97.5 is with the lid.
Because that's part of your trademark. Harden has his beard. You got your lid. You should embrace that.
I should.
Matter of fact, you should probably have a sponsor for that.
One more segment to go. I would love it. Dude, bro, I need as many sponsors. Bro, I'm all about the sponsorships.
See, we're going to brush over that. Just like everybody thinks Nike should sponsor me because of all the Nike
you
stuff
should.
I got.
They should. Agreed.
I have investigated it a little bit.
Agreed.
But I'd be just fine with as much as we're now on Twitch and doing videos and things. Look, I'm all about the.
I wouldn't recommend anybody else but you for Nike.
I would think it's a great move for them, but I think on their way of thinking, why do we have to endorse him and send it when he's already wearing it anyway?
That's right. All right. One last segment. I do want to talk a little bit about the UFC fight. Not too much.
Okay.
Not too long. And anything you want to talk about. But I will talk a little bit about Paul Felder and the UFC Apex fight in the next segment.
You want to talk about a cat named Dick?
And that too.
And why?
We got to get to that story.
A cat named Dick and why?
We could even start off with that story because I think that's hilarious. I still haven't seen the picture, but I'm gonna look at it right now.
See, and most of the guys are saying that's a hard no and an F no on the makeup. All right, one segment to go on the show. As Nick said, we'll wrap it up next. It's Press Box on ESPN.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is the Press Box on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Nick Sciarra.
Back on the box, final segment of the program. Just got a text that said, thanks for the heads up, boys. Just got my consultation set up with Fitz Roofing. Well, thank you, sir, or ma'am, because we appreciate you, and Fitz will do a fine job for you. So, Nick, give the peeps what they want, the insight from an expert on the UFC card.
UFC at UFC in Vegas 27, I think it is. Okay. Yeah, 27. Cody Garbrandt and Rob Font headline the card. For anybody that knows Cody, he was the former bantamweight champion, had that really impressive win against Dominic Cruz, an absolutely dominant win. This is like 4 or 5 years ago, but then loses back-to-back to TJ Dillashaw, loses three in a row, has one fight where he finishes the fight incredibly on Fight Island in Abu Dhabi, and then he loses again. And everybody's like, is it done? Is he going to get the pink slip? I don't think he's going to get the pink slip. He's only 29. He won the championship at a very, very early age. And he went up against a game opponent in Rob Font. So I think really good win for Rob. I don't think it's done. He's done for Cody. It's not like he's 34, 35, 36. So it's not like he's way past his prime. He's probably just entering it. But I think it was a poor decision-making. I mean, a lot of the guys that he fights sometimes, when he gets hit, he usually turns into a brawler. He did a little bit better about it this time, but he just needs to do a little bit better about, you know, picking his poison. People know you're a striker and you can hit hard and you have that one-punch knockout power. Mix it up more and maybe start with a takedown because it was just a little too predictable. And every time he lost the exchanges, he went for the takedown and Rob knew exactly what he was doing. So if you got to catch, it wasn't the best fight card, but there was a couple fights on that. It's on ESPN Plus if you want to check it out. And then the other big news, or semi-big news, is Paul Felder retiring, and this is what he had to say about it.
I got a new contract I haven't even gotten to fight on yet. So that just shows you that this isn't an easy decision, and it's not one where it's not like I wasn't getting the things I want. That's when you know it's time. If a brand new contract just handed to me by the UFC without even negotiating, after that RDA fight, they took my contract, which still had three more fights on it, they threw it out, and they said, here's your new one. And it was a good one.
And that's huge. So you haven't even satisfied or honored one fight on your new contract. You can barely convince yourself to get back in the gym. You're 36 years of age. And by the time he gets another title shot, because he's coming off of back-to-back losses, one of which to Rafael Dos Anjos and another game opponent in Dan Hooker, the chances of going on a win streak and getting a title shot, it's still there. But at 36, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So for him to make the decision, even though he has the contract, I think is absolutely huge. And he admitted it himself. He got tired of getting hit in the face. So good career for Paul Felder. Probably would have had a chance to win a championship. Didn't quite do it, but I love the guy. He said, I'd rather retire sooner than later. But shout out to Paul Felder because I enjoyed a lot. And look, he's the guy that beat Charles Oliveira, AJ's buddy, who just won the 155-pound championship. So the guy's a game opponent, just unfortunate timing, and decides to retire. So shout out to Paul Felder because he's a good dude.
Now, Nick, speaking of good dudes, you have a good time playing along, making fun of the horn. Some people weren't aware of it, okay? But no one is asking you to change your name or going to your mom and say, have you ever thought about changing Nick's name to something that's more like D-head or something that refers to...
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. I mean, so why is it that in the pet world that, and I'm not going to lie to you, and I just tweeted the picture, this couple found a cat recently, and in getting ready to adopt it from a shelter, they realized that this kind of grayish cat had the color of its nose and above its eyes resemble that of the male genitalia. So they were successful in adopting the cat and decided to name it Richard, or Dick for short, for obvious reasons.
It makes sense.
It kind of does, but yet people did not really take too kindly to it.
Why?
They thought they were setting the cat up basically for failure. Like, why draw attention to it and want people to call him that because of it, the fact that he has that already, a shortcoming, so to speak, on his face?
Now the story has become fake. This isn't a real story.
It is.
What do you mean?
It is.
They're upset that they called the cat Dick?
One of the sister-in-law deemed it inappropriate and a disservice to the cat and its feelings, adding that it accounts for unphysical animal abuse since they're making fun of the cat with the name and the cat doesn't know it. Upon standing up for himself and explaining to his sister-in-law that the cat doesn't even speak English, he goes on that she got mad at the fiance for enabling her soon-to-be husband to abuse an animal who couldn't control what their coat pattern and fur looked like. I'm not going to lie to you. They're not wrong.
It looks exactly like...
Yes, Richard.
A Richard and two balls.
Yes, it does.
And that's what it looks like. I mean, I just don't understand. You know what? I ain't going to lie. Hopefully Lisa's not listening. But some of you animal activists are going way too far to protect... You're not protecting the animal. Y'all are going way too far. Now, I don't think Lisa would go this far.
I don't think she would. I don't think she'd care that you named this cat Dick or
Richard. It's hilarious.
I think she'd care more that it went to a good home and someone's going to take care of the cat. If you're going to not abuse the cat, feed the cat, and take care of the cat and treat it like a great pet, she doesn't care what you call it.
And it does look like a Richard in two balls.
It
so tough.
It really does.
Add Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. Yeah, I just retweeted it. Yeah. At the producer, Nick. I don't understand why people would be upset. That sounds like something Les Alexander would be upset about.
His wife would. Or
oh, yeah, that's right.
His ex-wife, for sure. But he might have issues with it, too. But, yeah, I mean, no.
It's just a cat. Now, if it was a little kid that had a Richard and two balls on his forehead, okay, maybe that would be a little inappropriate.
I'm not going to lie to you. I've played hoops against some guys that were...
They have a Richard and two balls on their forehead?
No. You know how some people, we used to call it, like... Fantasy Island, like you get some guys that are balding, so they shave it all off, but they won't shave the actual last patch of hair that is staying like in the center of their head.
Oh my God, those people are the worst.
Yeah, there was a guy we used to play basketball against that was, he'd shave his head completely bald, except for he still had hair on the front, and I'm not going to lie to you, the hair patch that he wouldn't shave, I guess for fear that it would never grow back, kind of made him look like a D-head.
And he kept it?
Yeah, and all of us knowing...
Did y'all tell him?
You can't, no, because we didn't know him that well.
Yeah,
He showed up for hoops. But you looked at it, and you couldn't stop looking at it going, I just think I'd go completely commando and shave it all off.
Yeah, just own the look. I mean, I never really held on like other people when it comes... Like Dana White, for example. There was a time where he held on to it, too. Alex Caruso of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes.
He held on to it for way too long, and then he eventually shaved it. Some people just hold on to it too long. You just need to go ahead and own it, man.
You think Lil Nas X hangs on to it too long?
Oh, so what happened with that Saturday
night? So he had to hang on to it a little too long. So the finale of Saturday Night Live was this last Saturday night. And Lil Nas X was performing. And so his pants were a little too tight. He was performing Montero, Call Me By Your Name,
love
during the
song.
Show.
I have no idea what it is.
And all the gyrating was too much for his pants because they split down the front. There's a video that comes out. He was dancing on a stripper pole. You see him kind of drop down, and that's when his pants do the splits. The pants also had a zipper right there, and it was unclear if the zipper broke with a seam or it just gave way. But he's a pro, so he immediately just grabbed his crotch Michael Jackson style and finished the rest of the number. He boldly glares right into the camera as it happens and then presses on to finish the song, but tweets after the show, "Not my pants ripped on live on TV," adding, "OMFG, no, I wanted to do my pole routine so bad, this is what I get, LMAO. He then follows it up as saying, "At first I was afraid to even perform. Then we rehearsed the song for 2 weeks. Then all the dancers got removed because one had COVID. So new ones had to learn the dance quickly in 24 hours. Then I ended up ripping my pants and couldn't finish. I guess everything happens for a reason."
Now I'm going to go back and watch it. I normally watch that stuff on YouTube because I just like the best clips of Saturday Night Live. I don't actually watch an entire episode of Saturday Night Live. Now I'm going to go watch it. But he just wanted to dance on the pole.
I guess so.
You should have just let him dance on the pole.
He had a lot of male dancers grabbing on his. I can tell you that.
Well, he's
not on our team.
Right. I think he's already gone public about it, I'm not mistaken.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. And then as part of that, and we'll see what happens, I don't know if you caught this or not, but there's also a lot of rumors that a lot of changes could be happening with the Saturday Night Live cast, that Kate McKinnon and Keenan and several of the cast members may not have treated Saturday night's episode as if it was a swan song and it was their final farewell.
Ooh.
And I don't...
I feel like more people are going to get in trouble on Saturday Night Live soon.
I'm just kind of amazed that Saturday Night Live is still a thing.
Me too, but apparently, I mean, you would think they would have canceled it if the ratings are bad enough, right? I don't know what the ratings are like, but you would think they would have canceled it if it's that bad.
I'm surprised it's still a thing, and I think it still does fairly well in
the
ratings.
It has to, right?
Because I know that, like, to get to the studio, it's a big... You got to wait in line, and the line is endless, and it's a big thing to get tickets to Saturday Night Live. But, I mean, it's a far cry from some of the casts that they used to have with the Eddie Murphys and the Bill Murrays and Adam Sandlers, and the list goes on. But there's some talented people on that show. There's a local kid on the show now from around the Houston area.
Yeah. Was it you or Bear? I guess it was you the one that told me about it. I don't remember. But yeah, I forgot his name.
He was a writer, and now he's on the show. And they gave him kind of his own bit last week. So it was kind of neat. They did a story on the news about it.
Nice. But,
all right. That's it for a Monday. Nick and I are going to be back tomorrow. So hopefully you will be too, as we cover you every day that ends in a Y during the week and get you all the way from 1 to 4 p.m. as you fight through your workday and whatever you got going on. So we'll see you tomorrow. But stay tuned next. It's The Blitz, Fred, AJ, Aaron. Coming up next, 4 to 7, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.